blessing. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name. Let's just take a moment and pray before we go into the word this morning. We need to lift up Pastor Bruce right now. He has not been well. He's had a really rough week. We need to lift him up. You know, and the word says that, you know, one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. We're quite a bit more than two right here, right now. So let's just unify in our hearts and in our minds, and let's just lift Pastor right now to the precious Lord. And I don't want you to be quiet. This is not a quiet moment where you sit. This is not a, we're going to go to war. The Lord just said war. We are going to go to war for Pastor Bruce right now. We are going to fight for him right now. And this is something you cannot do silently, or you cannot do quietly. Lift your heart, lift your voice, pray in the Spirit, and let's come against this attack against our pastor in the name of Jesus. Oh, precious Father, we lift to you, Pastor, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you bring healing into his body. Lord, we command these sinuses to be healed and the swelling to shrink and be normal in the name of Jesus. We command everything that's there that shouldn't be there to exit his body even now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we speak to the third nerve in his face. We speak to this in the name of Jesus. And we command it to be still. The pain to go in the name of Jesus. The flaring and the firing off to go in the name of Jesus. Lord, where he is unbalanced, we speak balance in the name of Jesus. Where he is dizzy, Father, we speak peace in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing to his body. We come against every spirit of sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. We come against it by the blood of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we proclaim and declare healing over this man in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just lift all to you right now, all those in your body who are sick. Lord, that are battling sicknesses and diseases. Lord, we lift them to you right now, wherever they are. We lift them to you. And we ask you, Lord, to bring healing into your body in the name of Jesus. Lord, where sickness and disease have a foothold and a stronghold, Lord, we break it in the name of Jesus. And we speak healing over your body. We speak healing to your people in the name of Jesus. Oh, we just praise you today. We praise you this morning. Lord, you are holy. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. And you are worthy, mighty Savior. You are worthy, mighty Lamb of God. You are worthy. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done and what you're still doing. We thank you for being you. Because you are mighty. You are wonderful. You are good. You are true. You are faithful. You are grace. You are mercy. You are kindness. You are love. We thank you for these things, Father. We thank you for your character. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you now for healing. I thank you for the healing of our pastor. I thank you, Father. I thank you for the healing, oh God. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, we just praise your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, amen, Lord. Oh, amen, amen, hallelujah. Bear with me just a moment. Hallelujah. The Lord is mixing this up. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you, hallelujah, this morning about a couple of things that are taking place in the body. Do you know that right now, and I looked it up online, you can also look it up online. Do you know that right now, 2022, there are more churches closing? It's been on a slide, really going up. So it's not a slide, it's on an upswing. That there are more churches, and this is for the last several years, there are more churches closing every year than there are churches opening. There are more churches that have congregations of under 100 people than there are churches that have huge congregations. And these smaller churches are closing by the thousands, this report I read said, by the thousands every year. And that breaks my heart. And I was praying over that. Lord, what's going on? What's going on? You know, and in the body, I believe there are two things that have hit the body of Christ. You know, we were prepared perhaps to face the Ten Commandments and make it through that. But there are two things that have hit the body of Christ that I don't think we were prepared for, and I don't think we've dealt with it. And I was praying and asking the Lord about it. And He began to speak with me. And I'm going to start with a different verse than where I was going to begin with. I'm going to talk to you first about apathy. Do you know that there is apathy going on in the church? And that's where there's no emotion, no feeling one way or the other. Just a feeling of meh. Meh. I'm not excited to go. I don't even care if I go or not. I'm not unexcited to go. I don't feel anything one way or the other. There's a lot of people in the body that have just become apathetic. No feelings. I don't know about you, but most of you hear me during worship. Sorry about that. But I'm not. Because when I start worshiping Jesus, and if it's in my car or if it's in my house, it doesn't matter where it's at. But the minute I start worshiping Jesus, I get all excited inside. I mean, something just stirs big in me and just gets all excited. And I just start, woo! I'm driving down the road. Grandkids are in the back of the car. We're singing that song, Just Do What You Are Famous For, or one of the other millions of songs we love. And I'm just like, woo! Grandkids are back there. Woo! A little bit. I'm trying. I don't want to blast people out of the church here. I just get excited, and I will just randomly say, wow, praise you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Because when I think about Him, and I think about what He's done for me, I know who I am. I know who I was. I know who I want to be. But He loves me in every process that He is taking me through. And that excites me, because there are days I do not feel lovable. And I'm sure there are more days I don't act lovable. I can get attuned. I can. Ask my daughter. I can get attuned. But He loves me anyway. That is amazing. And that stirs emotion so deep in me, I can't be quiet. I would love, you know, that little picture of that pretty little Victorian lady that stands all perfectly. She's delicate. Everything I'm not. And I think, and she's worshiping the Lord. You can see she's just in the throes of heaven, and she just never makes a sound. That's just not me. I'm not delicate. I'm not tiny. And if I'm in the throes of it, you are going to know it, because the tears are going to be running. I'm going to be shouting. And I don't know, someday I might shock us all and I might run up and down the aisle, because that desire is in there and it takes all of me to stop it. Because that's the things I feel when I get into His presence. There's no room for apathy. I've got no room for no feeling. What I have to cook for dinner tomorrow night, I have no emotion about that. I just care, I get it. I am to the place where I don't care what it is. There's another condition that is rampant in the church that we need to address, and it's called complacent. Satisfied with where you're at. No feeling for a need to change. Smug even. Happy with the status quo. That's not us, right? There's nobody in this room who is happy with the status quo, right? You know, because if we have reached the place in our walk with the Lord where we're like, I'm good. I don't need to go higher. I don't need to go forward. I'm just good right where I'm at. I'm here to tell you there's a problem. Because the more you love Jesus, the more I fall in love with Jesus, the higher I want to go. The more I want of Him. You know, years ago, I'm not even going to try to say how many because I don't even know. But years ago, a coffee cup was like this. It's like just a sip. And that's what everybody had in their houses for coffee cups. And that was fine. I mean, it's what we used, right? It's what the cup sizes had always been. You know, one day my husband said to me, I don't like these cups. I want a cup of coffee. I don't want to have three. Well, you just pour it again and mix it. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I want to pour it once, mix it once, and sit down and drink my coffee. And lo and behold, they started coming out with huge coffee cups. Like tanks. Right? It had to be. That's how we need to be with Jesus. You know, we can't be happy with a little tiny measure. We've got to always be striving for more of Him because there's always more of Him to be had. And if we find that we're satisfied with this little tiny demi cup of Jesus, we have become complacent. Maybe even smug. I've got this perfect little dainty espresso cup of Jesus. It's all I need. It's everything in one little cup. It's just boom. And I'm good. I'm done. I'm all good for the day. I'm good for the rest of my life. I don't ever need any more. You know, I love espresso. I don't drink it often because it has horrendous effects on me. Those of you who have seen those effects, please remain quiet. Let there be an air of mystery. And I have this compulsion when I get it to drink it hot because it doesn't taste the same as it cools. Now, Anna will get her one of those big, I don't know, grande things, you know, and she will sip on it for hours. I get me one of those big things and whoa, that was good. I'm ready for another one. That's kind of how I am with Jesus. I don't want the little tiny, I want the really big thing. Fill me up and I'm gonna take it down fast and then I'm gonna get another one right behind it. It's not enough to just have a little demi cup of Jesus. It's not enough. We can't allow ourselves to become complacent, to become content, and not always be striving for something more of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about wherever you find yourself therein, be content. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your situation. I am talking about your relationship with Jesus. We can't allow our relationship with Jesus to become complacent. We can't allow where we are with Him to become stagnant. And the only way for it not to become stagnant is to keep it real every day. To press into Him every day. To seek Him for more of what He has for you every day. That means possibly getting a little emotional, Marty. Might mean that, Myrna. I know for some of us, getting excited in church is hard. I know that. That's not me. I would be the exact opposite. Keeping me quiet in church is a real issue. Ask the worship team and ask Pastor. But we have to allow ourselves to be demonstrative in our relationship with Jesus. It's a two-way thing. We can't just ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. And stay exactly how we are forever. We cannot allow complacency to fill our churches because it's a danger to our spiritual man. It's a danger to our spiritual life. And I'm going to show you how. Go with me in your Bibles. I know you thought I wasn't going to do that, but I am. Go with me in your Bibles to John chapter 11. Hallelujah. I'm going to paraphrase most of these verses. This verse here that comes up, I'm going to just kind of tell the story because I don't want to take all day and I have a tendency to ramble, as Mike calls it. There was a man named Lazarus. He was a friend of Jesus. He had two sisters, Martha and Mary. They lived in a little town of Bethany. And one day Jesus got word from the sisters that Lazarus was sick. And they asked him to come. Come quickly. Because he is sick. And they use the word, the one you love. Do you know you are the one he loves? Bonnie, you are the one he loves. Hallelujah. You are the one he loves, Elaine. The one he loves. And so Jesus was speaking with his disciples, and he stayed where he was 3 more days. And Jesus said to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son may be glorified through it." This verse gives me strength. That no matter what I am facing, no matter what trial is befalling me, it is not unto death, but it is for a purpose greater than what this situation appears. I don't know about you, but I can be a real whiner in the middle of a trial. Lord, I can't take this anymore. I'm done. I'm done. I'm famous for saying that. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm out of here. Whoosh, and I'm gone. I can look at Anna and say one word, done, and march out of the house. And she's like, whew, what happened today? Something happened. But praise the Lord, I'm still in the process. I'm still in the process. And I know that no matter what I'm facing and no matter how done I feel, have you ever been in the middle of something where you just felt done? Like you couldn't do it, not one more day, not one more breath, not one more hour, not one more second. You were just so over it. You were just so done. It's like, okay, beam me up, Jesus. I'm out of here. When we feel like that, we need to remember this verse. This is not unto death, but that God might be glorified in this situation through you. Whoo, hallelujah. That excites me because there is nothing I want in my life more than God to be glorified in this. In me. Oh, there is nothing I want more than that. And there are days I am so short of that. And then I remember he died for me. Oh, hallelujah. Not that I was deserving, because I'm not. Not that I was worthy. Impossible. But because he loved me. And he loves me so much that he wants to shape me and form me and use me for his glory in every trial that comes into my life. Hallelujah. I asked the Lord once, what am I good for? He said, my glory to be revealed. Now, I didn't know at that moment that that would mean through the middle of trials. I thought I'd just wake up one morning and ta-da, I've arrived. God's glory is revealed. Not exactly how it works, right? But that is the purpose of us, his children, his vessels. You know, the Bible says that he stores up this treasure in jars of clay. Do you know jars of clay are fragile, a little bit on the ugly side, and have to go through the fire to be able to hold any liquid? Oh, yay! I get to look forward to the fire. Fragility, oh, yay! But he stores up all who he is right in here. Because, you know, when people see him in me, they're going to, they know, oh my gosh, that's not Janine. That's God! Because this earthen jar is fragile. And it's been broken again and again and again. Ha ha. But he chose this earthen vessel. Oh, hallelujah. You know, Jesus tarried 3 days. Have you ever had to wait on Jesus' arrival with the answer or the cure or the healing or whatever it was you need? Have you ever had to wait? It's agony. It's agony. And to think he purposely waited where he was 3 more days. That's just rude. You knew I was sick, Lord. You knew I was dying. And you made me go through the process. Do you know that dying before Jesus is a beautiful process? Because when we reach the end of us, the end of our strength, the end of our ideas, the end of our abilities, the end of our opinions, and my opinions are endless, I'm just saying. When we reach the end, we've got nothing left. He comes in. He's not going to fight us for the place. That's kindness right there. Because it would, for me, it would probably be a knockdown, drag out fight. You could probably call me Jacob. I just would fight. But when we get to the end of us, and that for Jacob, that was the breaking of the hip. That's it. Okay. Yep. We're there now. Then the Lord comes in when we have ceased our labors. Because when we get to the end, there's nothing else we can do but just, oh yeah, wait. Okay. Yeah. I should have thought of that first. If I'd have skipped the fighting process and just went right to the waiting, it had probably been much faster. But there's a purpose in the waiting. Jesus knew that this was not unto death. He knew there was a greater purpose in what Lazarus was going through. He knew he was suffering, but he knew that the suffering was for a purpose. Have you ever said that, Lord, if I just understood the purpose, it would make the suffering better? No? Oh, just me. Oops. Yay, thank you, Mary. Woo! It didn't. I'm just going to tell you, it didn't. But in my little pea brain, I thought it would. Because basically we know when we walk with Christ, whatever we suffer is for His glory, right? And in everything we do, and in everything we have to face, we know that we're supposed to do it for Christ. Didn't make the suffering better for me. Because I'm often focused on me. And what hurts me and what makes me uncomfortable. I'm sure Lazarus was uncomfortable. He was dying, mind you. But Jesus knew that there was about to be this incredible revelation moment. That there was about to be this extreme moment of God's glory being revealed. Lazarus didn't have a clue, but Jesus knew. And he knew he had to wait. He had to wait for the exact moment that Lazarus was gone, or the miracle just wasn't quite the same. And he has to wait on us. To get to that quiet moment when we're out of us, we're out of ideas, we're out of options, we're out of possibilities, so that we can see His glory and none of the credit can go to man. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, there's a song that I listen to that I like. I don't know the same song. There's just parts of songs that I really enjoy. And this one said, he's never early, or he's never late, he's never early. Or maybe it's the other way around. He's never early, he's never late. Something like that. You'll never get it from me. But, and that song is so true. He's never early, but he's never too late. He's always at the exact right moment. No matter the situation, no matter what we're facing, he is going to turn it into a God moment. His glory will be revealed in us and through this situation. You know, in Joshua 1:9, the word tells us, have I not commanded you? Be strong. I like this part. Be of good courage. Now we know, we know that in this, the Israelites were about to go in and take possession of their inheritance. But there were enemies living in each of their territories. And God's saying, hey, be strong. Be courageous. Go in there. Be of good courage. Ooh, knowing what we're about to face. Hallelujah. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Whatever you go through, whatever you're in the middle of right now, He is there with you. And He will take what seems impossible, what seems there's no possible solution, no way. He will make it a God glory moment. And I don't know about you, but I want more God glory moments in my life. I don't want the trials. I don't want the sickness. But I want the God glory moments. And if the only way to get to the God glory moments is to go through these things, then I would have to say, I'm in. You know, we lived in Mexico 19 years. I know most of you know that. I'm saying that for those who might not know that. And every year, at the end of the year, I would take an account of the year. Look back at all that we had done for Jesus. All that we had been through. And you know, after those first 5 years, every year I said, oh, Lord, are you kidding me? This was the hardest year we have had to face. Oh my gosh, Lord, the challenges, the struggles, the trials, Lord, they were horrendous. It was horrific. I'm in for the next one because it was marvelous and it was victorious and it was incredible. Lord, we moved mountains. We saw healings. We saw lives saved. We saw people changed for your glory. I'm all in, Jesus. And that was progressively the same year after year for 19 years. And I thought maybe after we were on the mission field a while, you know, 5 years. I thought 5 years was a good trial period. I thought everything would get easier. Oh, we're 5 years into this, Lord. Things are going to get easier now, right? No. I thought, oh, come on, Lord. We've been doing this for 5 years. It's got to be different, right? I mean, we don't, should we have to keep facing these kinds of things, Lord, every year after year? But you know what? When I was a child, I thought as a child. So, you know, when I was a child, I thought, oh, by the time I get 20, I'm going to have this down. I'm going to know my whole Bible, because I had already started reading my Bible by the age of 10. But I'm going to know my whole Bible, front to back. And I am going to just, well, I'm going to be better than these guys. And then I became an adult and I understood what my child mind couldn't understand. As a child, I wanted to be perfect. I didn't see a hiccup with that. I mean, it's not exactly that hard to not murder somebody. I wasn't going to commit adultery. I didn't have a problem honoring my parents and so on. I thought that's all it took. And then relationships started happening. And things started getting really sticky. And then by 20, I thought, oh, I'm not even going to try. Oh, wow. Wow, did I have this wrong? When we have a childlike mind and a childlike perspective, that's not bad. But we also have to realize that every day is going to bring a new trial, a new struggle, because every trial and struggle that comes into our life is about bringing God's glory forward. So be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed. For wherever you go or whatever you go through, God is there. There's no exception to that. This is a, well, maybe not this thing. No, that isn't what it is. It's a no matter what thing. And you know, the word tells us in Psalms 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will sustain you. That means hold you up, carry you, take you through it, whatever it is, wherever you're at. And so he knew. Now, these are Old Testament. This is Torah stuff. Jesus knew that what Lazarus was facing, he was going to take him through it, even if the way through it meant death. Jesus already knew what was coming. He already knew what was the purpose of what Lazarus was going through. Well, we all know he dies. And in every the Bible is applicable in two ways. There is a spiritual application and there is a physical application. Hallelujah. Lazarus died physically. Hallelujah. And so today the things that I'm talking about, complacency, apathy, those are not a physical death. It is a spiritual death. It is a spiritual death sentence to let these things. And you can go across the nation in church after church and you can find the apathetic and the complacent. The bigger the church, the easier it is to become complacent and apathetic. You can sit there with that perfect little Victorian woman look. And nobody ever knows in your head you're doing something totally different because you just don't give a hoot anymore. Because you just have no feeling towards it one way or the other anymore. In Romans 8 it says, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I want to break this down a little bit because it's so easy to use that verse. I have no condemnation. I am not under condemnation. I'm not under it. That's really good. But this is a contingency verse, meaning there is something you must do to receive the covering of this verse. You must not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, to have that no condemnation covering. When we slip out of the Spirit and into the flesh, well, that covering isn't there. And so we can't live how we want to and then say, I've got no condemnation, I'm in Christ Jesus, because it doesn't work like that. If your insurance only covers you driving your car and your friend borrows it and wrecks it, oh well. It was in the insurance. It was written, you are the only covered driver. It's the same with the word. These are your promises. These are for you. They're absolutely 100% for you. But it comes with a but clause. You know, but you have to do the other part to get that clause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word condemnation, it's a good word. Censure, blame, the act of judicially condemning someone, or the state of being condemned. So when we step out from under that covering, we are actually living in the state of being condemned. Our spirit, when we step out from under the covering of Jesus, it is a slow death. We're headed down. When we step into apathy, when we step into, the word just went away. In Mexico, they say, and the airplane left. When we step into complacency, thank you, Lord, and we step into apathy, we've stepped out from walking in the Spirit. We've stepped out from under His covering, and it begins a slow spiritual death process. Hallelujah. When we are living in disobedience to the Lord, we are living in a state of condemned, guilty, and unforgiven. to get back under the covering, we have to ask the Lord to forgive us. We have to stop what we're doing, step back to where we're supposed to be with the Lord, and continue living and walking and going forward in the Spirit. Unless you live by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, speak by the Spirit, and leave behind the flesh, that covering doesn't cover us. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." That verse applies to me if I'm living for Jesus, if I'm living in Jesus, if I am saved by Jesus. But if we've walked away, if we're living something else, if our time with Jesus has become complacent and we just have a feeling of apathy where Jesus is concerned, let me tell you, we are not in right relationship. That is a dangerous place to be. You can come and you can come and you can come, service after service after service. You can hear preacher after preacher after preacher, and nothing reaches your heart because you're in a slow decline, a slow decaying death spiritually. And the Lord doesn't want us to be in that place. Oh, hallelujah. To receive this wonderful gift of life and live without condemnation over us. We must live according to the Spirit who lives in us. We must let Him speak to us. We must let Him guide us. He is who fills us, and it is He who renews us and brings conviction when we've slipped out from under the covering. Hallelujah. In Romans 2, further down on verse 5, it says, "But for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is at enmity with God." Against God. Hallelujah. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Hallelujah. We're talking about these things of flesh. I am mainly talking today about apathy and complacency, but there are many other things. There is anger. There is addictions. There is hate. There is stress. There is fear. There is gossip. There is criticism. There is a whole list of things that pull us out from under that covering and take us out from the Spirit. And the enemy loves to entice us and lead us into those places, because he knows once we're out from under that covering, we can become disillusioned, and it's a downward slope. And that's what he's been doing in the bodies of God. Because let me tell you, if everything was perfect in the bodies of Christ, there, every church would be filled. You know, in our 19 years in Mexico, we've been home for 2, but we've made a trip back. So let's go 21 years. I know close to 10 pastors that have fallen into adultery and left their families and their churches. Walked away from all that God had and all that. And these are not pastors that you would have looked and said, "Ooh, that man's in trouble." These were people that were dedicated. But when we allow our hearts to become hardened and we allow apathy to set in and complacency to set in, it begins rotting us from the inside and we don't even know what's happening. We just wake up one day and it's like, "Oh, I don't even enjoy church anymore. I don't know why I go." We try to lay blame. "Well, it's because the worship is just so bleh. Oh, you know, it's because the preacher isn't good. They don't speak to me anymore. I'm not learning. Oh, you know, it's because I just, you know, there's just that one sister. I just can't stand her. She just thinks she's all it." And it's a slope downward that leads to spiritual death. Hallelujah. We're no longer happy where we're at or what we have. We just have no feelings towards it whatsoever. We no longer seek Him. We no longer spend time in the Word. We no longer pray. We don't have an intimate relationship. We don't even really have a relationship, because you have to speak to somebody to actually have a relationship. We no longer care about His presence, being in it, or seeking it. We no longer speak in tongues or pray in the Spirit. We no longer desire spiritual gifts. I mean, what's the point of going anymore anyway? I'm fine. I don't need church anyway. I'm good. There should be this big blaring light that goes, danger, danger, danger. You are on the road to spiritual death. Beep, beep, beep. Back up, back up. Hallelujah. It says in 2 Timothy, I'm going to skip Mike because I'm, rambling. 2 Timothy 3:15 says this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Then we're going to go to the last one. You can read in between later. It says, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. That means, you come and you sit, but there's no relationship. Complacency and apathy has set in. There's no relationship with Jesus. You don't even know why you come. Maybe it's social hour or great coffee or even the donuts. But you're not there to worship. You're not there to really hear the word. You're just going because it's habit. It's what you've always done. The churches are filled with people that go out of habit, but they don't know the word. They don't know what Jesus has said to us through the Word. That Bible is huge, and it's filled with words to you, for you, because He died for you. In our unworthiness, in our unloveliness, in our ugliness, in our worst place possible, when we are not worthy, when we are not good enough, He came for you. He gave it all. He laid it all down for you and for me. And that excites me. I can't be complacent in my worship because it excites me what He did for me. And it says, if you go with me to John, with this I'm going to close. John chapter 11, where we were in the beginning, verse 38 and 39, it says, then Jesus, again groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. Do you know why He was groaning? He was hurting for Lazarus. He was hurting for his sisters. He was hurting for what they had gone through. And He was groaning with the pain. I would just like to say, I'm a groaner. When I hurt, I just give out these little... I'll never tell you usually that I'm hurting unless I'm directly asked, but I'll just...
Oh, wow.
And Scott knows those sounds. And so even though I'm trying to hide it from him because he gets all stressed out and worried, he's like, what's going on? You just groaned. I don't know. Did I groan? Yes. Yes, you did. Well, I don't know. I'll try to wait for the next one and let you know, because I didn't even know I groaned. And a little time will go by and he goes, you did it again. You're groaning. What's going on? Is your hip hurting? Is something numb? Is a nerve? What's going on? I don't know. I've become a groaner. I don't know. And Jesus was groaning with the hurt of what Lazarus and Martha and Mary had gone through. And it said, it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Hallelujah. Jesus is standing right in front of you today. And He is saying, take away the stone. Whatever it is that is hindering you from life abundantly, whatever it is from hindering you for going forward and obtaining all that Jesus has for you, take away the stone. He is here to take away the stone. And it says that Lazarus walked out of that cave in grave clothes. We need to take off the grave clothes. We need to stand up and walk out of the things that are keeping us from being who Jesus is calling us to be, from the things that are keeping us in the place of stagnancy, in the place of allowing Him to mold and shape us. Jesus is standing before you today, and He is calling you from outside of the grave, and He is telling you, come out! Come out! Don't stay where death is. Whether it's sickness or disease that you battle, abuse, whatever your hurt is, whatever it is that is keeping you here, you can't get past here, no matter how bad you want to go past here, you can't, because you are tethered to the past. The Lord is telling you today, stand up and walk out of the grave, because I am here. I have a miracle moment for you. I am your Savior. I called you. I chose you. No matter what we've gone through, no matter what you have gone through, He is there for you. Be of good courage. Be strong in the power of the Lord and walk out of that tomb. Shake off those grave clothes, because it is the same Jesus that we serve today that lived over 2,000 years ago. He is the same Jesus. He is the same Savior. He has the same power. And every moment, every trial, and every struggle of your life, He wants to turn it into a God glory moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet today. Praise the Lord. I know I spoke a little longer than Pastor. I apologize. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise your name. If you are watching today, I say thank you. I say, God bless you. I stand up and walk out of that grave. Don't stay there. Don't allow complacency and apathy to become part of who you are. Don't allow the desires of the flesh to keep you chained or bound any longer, because Jesus is bigger than those things. Hallelujah. Thank you for tuning in today. I say a big God bless you. Let us close with a prayer, and then the altars will be open for prayer. And if you're battling with sickness or disease, or you have some other battle going on in your life and you need the victory, we are here to pray for you. Oh, let us close. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for every person represented here today and every person watching. I thank you for your power. Lord, I ask that you just burn this word into the hearts and into the minds of your people. Lord, that it would stir revelation, that it would stir new life, that it would encourage them, that it would uplift them, oh God. Lord, that it would give them strength to walk out of whatever it is they're in the middle of. Lord, that it would give them strength to stand in the middle of the trial and to declare your glory over it, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you bless your people, that you draw them ever deeper into the things of you. Lord, that you stir the waters, that you don't allow us to become complacent or apathetic, oh God. But that, Lord, our relationship with you would always be filled, Lord Jesus, be filled, oh God, with joy and love and peace and excitement, Lord. Lord, that you would stir the excitement of our soul in knowing you, precious Savior. And Lord, I just thank you, Father. If there's anyone watching or anyone here that does not know Jesus, would you just raise your hand? I see that hand out there. We're just going to say a really quick prayer. If you just repeat after me. Body, let's everybody repeat it, and hallelujah. Precious Jesus, I know I need a Savior. I know you are that Savior. Come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sins. Live with me. Teach me your ways. And in the name of Jesus, God, I declare you my Father. I receive you as my Father. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've just prayed that prayer with us, welcome to the family. Find somewhere. Get plugged in. Come and join us here in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. or Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. right here. God bless you.